everyone, and welcome to another episode of Divi Nation. Divi Nation is a podcast and video show by Elegant Themes, the creators of Divi, the ultimate WordPress theme and visual page builder. Now, the goal of Divi Nation is really simple. We want to provide you with the knowledge, insights, and supportive community that you need to be successful with WordPress and Divi. I'm your host, Nathan B. Weller, and as your host, it is my job to facilitate that success by having various guests from the Divi and wider WordPress community onto the show to share their stories and experiences with you. In this episode, I am interviewing Shannon Schaefer of Purple Finch Studios and Divi Space. Shannon has a really cool story. She was formerly a sort of celebrity blogger back in the early days of really popular blogs. She sold her blog, took up web design, and now she's running two businesses centered around Divi. She tells us all about how that's possible, the journey it took to get there, and her advice to anyone who is currently lurking in the shadows of the Divi community. All that and more in today's episode of Divi Nation. Here it is. Shannon, welcome to Divi Nation.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. It's been cool. It was funny. I actually met you. You're one of the few people I met in person before I even saw you on like the Divi Facebook groups. I don't know if that's or on the blog or anywhere else. And I don't know if that's just me not paying close enough attention or if you maybe lurked in the groups for a little while. I can't tell. Do you know which one that might have been?
It was probably a combination of both. In the groups, I was kind of a lurker, but behind the scenes, I was chatting and talking with everybody. So
are you one of the people who like lurks, but then like messages people one on one?
Yeah. Okay. I don't know if that makes me a creeper, but yeah, something like that. So yeah. So I had made some friendships and relationships kind of behind the scenes, but not really in the public forums.
Cool. Well, for those who don't know you, go ahead and introduce yourself. Tell us, you know, who you are, where you're located, and what it is that you do.
So my name is Shannon Schaefer, and I live about an hour outside of Philadelphia in sleepy Berks County, Pennsylvania. And I own Purple Finch Studios, and I also recently became a partner at Divi Space.
Wow.
So Purple Finch Studios is a client-facing development company, along with my partner, Diane. So I think you met Diane there as well.
Yep.
So Diane and I have been running Purple Finch Studios for about 3 years here. It's very locally driven. We service our local community. And of course, you all know Divi Space. My role at Divi Space is really helping the customers and marketing. And so you'll see me in the Facebook group. You'll see me on the Facebook page, kind of being the face of Divi Space.
Nice. That's really cool. Yeah, I didn't know until just before we started this episode that you had joined forces with the folks who kind of started Divi Space, SJ. And I know he had a developer partner that he worked with for a long time. And I'm assuming the person's still there.
So Divi Space is I've partnered with SJ and then also the guys at Aspen Grove Studios, Corey
right,
and David.
There was that big like merger recently published a blog post or kind of like a Divi press release about.
Yeah, so we've decided to come together to work together. SJ has developing superpowers that I do not. And Corey is, he's just phenomenal with the support side of it. Mm-hmm. And David.
David's got to be your he's like your events guy, man.
He is
the social butterfly. For anybody listening, if you ever go to a Divi Nation meetup or a WordCamp where a lot of Divi folks are at, you will probably find David there and he will be yucking it up with every person in sight. And he will know every person in sight on some level. It's astonishing.
And he remembers names, faces, mm-hmm. and me. I just, I don't remember anybody's name, and I'm really bad with that. So we all have our superpowers. So we decided that, hey, let's get together. And so we are doing that as part of a team to help.
Nice.
So it's been a really our slogan is develop better together. That's kind of what we're trying to, and that I think that speaks to the whole community. There is such a sense of community rather than competition.
Yeah, no, totally. And we've talked about that a lot on the show in the past that I think it was Brian Gardner, Studio Press, who said the term that I think kind of hits it right on the head. It's a co-opetition.
Good. I love it. Yes.
So it's a cooperative competition, even collaborative in a lot of cases. So you have two projects or two businesses, the Purple Finch and Divvy Space. How do you split that up? Like, what is your balance between the two?
Good question.
Still figuring it out.
Still figuring it out.
Well, how about this then? Let's go with one of our traditional questions. We can kind of get into the groove of things here. What is a day in the life of your kind of Divvy business life? What do you do on a daily basis on average?
So a normal day for me starts somewhere around 4:30 in the morning. We have a distributed team. So our main developer, Hui, is in Portugal. So first thing in the morning, every morning we have a development team meeting, kind of talk about what we're going to do for that day, what our goals are. And that usually is from 4:30 until 7:30 in the morning. We're actually working on, you know, what the goals are for the day specifically. Wow. We work hand in hand. So we are a little bit not traditional in the fact that my role is kind of digital strategy and marketing. And I'm not a developer. I can work Divvy well, not anything else. So, I know what I want. And so we work as a team. So a lot of times I will do the layout, that 90%, as we were talking about on Divvy Chat, that Divvy and Hui does the next 10% of filling in the, you know, CSS and Java or whatever else we need outside of, the confines of Divvy. So that's normally from 4:30 to 7:30 is basically development time. And we're working on, you know, client projects. And then the rest of the world.
You're working together at that point? Because it sounded like you were saying that you're strategizing during that time. And I was thinking, that's 2 hours every morning. Is a long time to plan your day. So you're saying it starts with, let's plan the day. And then you guys work together for like hour and a half, 2 hours or whatever.
Yes. Every morning. That's how we start. And then the rest of the world is kind of waking up. Mm-hmm. And then right around 8:00, we will have our total team meeting, which will include sales and admin and kind of talk about what we're doing for the day. We always start with that meeting, and sometimes it's 10 minutes and sometimes it's an hour, but because our team is distributed, we're not in the same room. We do find that works really well for us.
That's awesome. So what happens after that? When everybody's kind of up and moving?
So then I spend a lot of time dealing with clients and client facing. Everything is typically done via either a video call or the phone. Not a lot of in person. Mm-hmm. And lately, around 10:00 in the morning, I will switch over to Divvy Space, and we're working on rebranding and launching the new site. So a lot of my day right now is, you know, coming up with marketing concepts and our plans for Divvy Space. Wow. And then mid-afternoon, switch back to client work again. So
that is a lot of work in one day. Is that when do you tend to cut it off? I mean, you're getting a super early start. So, I mean, are you still working till like 5 p.m. at night?
Typically until 5 p.m. However, Fridays done by lunchtime. And
very cool.
Yeah, so that's a trade-off. So typically Friday is done by lunchtime, and
I mean, I think a lot of people really enjoy that about running their own businesses, or at least being a partner in their own business, is having that freedom to set your own schedule and do what works for you. And I think another cool thing is it seems like people can kind of custom build their work days around their personal capacities, because I know there are definitely times where I can ramp up to working those really long days for a long stretch of time, but I inevitably have to like scale it back. And I think someone like you seems to have a pretty high capacity, and you're able to take advantage of it, particularly with the distributed workforce and all these collaboration tools. So that's pretty cool. That's pretty unique. I don't think a lot of people get to kind of customize their workday quite so well.
Yeah, and it works for me because, you know, I'm a mom. So, you know, after that, I turn it off and I'm, you know, able to be. And when my son was a little younger, you know, I would get done a little earlier when he came in from school. But now he has sports and he's not home till five. So, you know, but at 5 o'clock, you know, it's cut off and you can still be a parent. So that's the benefit of starting early in the morning. I know a lot of people who work at home tend to struggle with that work-life
with
balance.
With the kids and everything. Yeah. Well, we've talked about that a lot on the podcast in the past. I mean, we talked about it with SJ. We talked about it with Tammy Grant. I think maybe was it Sarah? Someone else. Someone in Australia, I remember.
Sarah or Olga.
Yeah. Were balancing things. Both of them, actually. Yeah, they're both balancing things with children. And it's cool. I mean, I think it's awesome that people are able to find that balance. And I think in many ways, it sounds like the balance they're finding is maybe healthier than you would at a traditional job, which is really cool.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. Yep.
Well, let's talk about how you got into this world of WordPress and web design in the first place. I mean, you're living a life right now where you're the owner or partner of two what seem to be thriving businesses, and you seem to be happy. You're working a lot. You're doing good work. How'd you get there? How'd that start?
So my story is kind of odd and different. I have a degree in finance, and I was a
I have friends who do that, and they always tell me I have a friend who jokes about finance, and he's like, people knock it, but guess what? When people who bank have dinner, they talk about art and culture and books. When people who are artists or creatives do dinner, they talk about money and their lack of. And I was like, you know what? There's something probably to that. So you started in finance.
Yeah. So for about 12 years, I was in corporate accounting and finance, and decided in 2007 that I wanted to do something different. And I started a WordPress blog. In 2007. And I did that until 2014. And in 2014, I had about 100 million views in 4 years.
Was this blog about finance, or was it something completely different?
Saving money.
There you go.
Wow. Yeah. So, awesome. And I sold it to a media company. But over the course of those 7 years, you know, when I started 7 years ago, there wasn't a lot of resources for people who were on WordPress. So that meant I had to learn it myself. Mm-hmm. And it also meant that I didn't have money for a developer. So I started on Genesis, StudioPress. I used Genesis, and I learned the hard way.
Did you ever use the bloggingtips.com to get like advice or figure things out?
No, I never.
That you all learned yourself?
Yeah, no.
I always ask people that when they say they were like really into WordPress blogging back in the day. One of the authors on the Elegant Themes blog, and someone who I've worked with in the past a lot, Kevin Muldoon. He actually started bloggingtips.com in like 2007 or something like that, or 2008.
Okay. And right around the same time.
A lot of people who were like early blogging and kind of growing their self-hosted WordPress blogs at the time either used that website or another one of his called WP Mods to kind of figure things out and get going. So I always ask just out of my own curiosity.
Yeah, no, I didn't know that one. But you know, it was a different time. There weren't the resources. Yeah. And you know, basically, I think I broke my website 1,975 times and restored it. You know, I would just stay up really late and I'm like, oh, I want to change this and, you know, break it, restore it. You know, back when I didn't know any better.
You did and everything on the live version.
Right, exactly. I did. I didn't know any better. So as time went on, one of the things that, you know, I became really good at was getting people conversions on websites. I know what made people, you know, with the amount of traffic that I had and what I was doing.
Right.
I learned
little experiments and
So I became a conversion queen. I kind of the psychology of what makes people buy and stuff on websites kind of is what made me want to get into it. And in 2014, when I decided that I was not going to, well, when I sold, I couldn't blog for 3 years and I just that non-compete.
Oh, is that part of your contract?
Yeah. So that's why when you asked me about blogging, and I don't know if you remember, but I said, oh, I can't. I know I'm not interested, but I couldn't blog at the time. So I was a total oh my goodness, I have to say no. But I, you know, so but now I'm not under that anymore. But why I'm doing. Okay. So, but my friend Diane said, hey, you know so much about websites, mm-hmm. and I'm a really good salesperson. Let's do websites. So I'm like, no. So our first website, was a $10,000 school website. Very first website that we did, because she, you know, is a good salesperson. And halfway through it, I'm like, why did we do this? We have no idea what we're doing. So we were using StudioPress Genesis, and that was our first website. Our first 7 or 8 websites really were terrible. And then one day she messages me and she's like, hey, did you see this Divi in it's Facebook, you know, this is back in, I think it was late 2014, maybe 15. And I said, no, I said, I don't like page builders. And I ate crow eventually, obviously. So that's how we got started. We got started totally like just, we were going to do one website
and that turned into Purple Finch. Very cool.
And Purple Finch was actually my photography name. Purple Finch is a bird. And so yeah. Purple Finch Studios was originally photography. So yes, that turned into Purple Finch. And here we are. It'll be 3 years in September. And, you know, about a year into it, we hired Hui on as our, you know, our lead developer and grew our staff. And yeah, so.
That is awesome. By the way, conversionqueen.com is available if you wanted to. To snag that and kind of, you know, rebrand a little bit, just, you know, I thought that had a nice ring to it, and it's open. So I just checked on it for you. So that seems awesome. So you jumped into, I'm assuming you started with your StudioPress themes, you made Genesis, and then you made the transition into Divi. What was that like? What was getting, you know, cause I'm assuming, you had, like, did you try to convert existing clients over to make managing everything easier, or did you just start adding new people with Divi and then just kind of let that?
Yeah. So we still have some people who are not on Divi that are, mm-hmm. you know, when it comes time to do a refresh, we will need
probably
to move
convert them.
Them
or whatever.
Yeah. So we, it was a, you know, at first I'm like, I've been using Studio Genesis for 7 mm-hmm. years. Why in the world would I want to move away right. from? But what I realized was that for us, the biggest selling point was the library. We have mm-hmm. a complete catalog of modules that are designed that we can build. And because we serve a local market, our price points are probably not the same as some of the more custom, you know, the pizza shop guy, those type of clients are our clients. So it became a way to, you know, build custom websites without having to start from square one. Yeah. So, it actually changed the way the entire business is run. So it was good.
Wow. That's awesome. Tell me about the local stuff. I mean, you're working with a distributed team of people all over the world, but you're getting your clients just from the Philadelphia area? Primarily?
Yes. Yes.
And are you doing that because it's easier to like market with local SEO, or what's the incentive behind keeping it local?
I think for our strategy is the type of client that we want to work with is easier to find locally because it's a trust thing. It's a, you know, you're here and we trust you. The small to mid-sized business, you know, really these people aren't going online and looking. They're not looking for, you know, somebody in California or in Florida. When they're looking and they see that we are in their local area. Sure. Or the other thing is the way that we've gotten a lot of referrals is there's really popular businesses in our area. Oh, you've done this company.
Yeah.
You've got this company. So
just taking advantage of like local word of mouth and like local business mixers and stuff like that.
Yes. Yeah.
It seems to be, I mean, you're far from the first person to talk about that strategy. And I'm just always curious because it seems like a lot of people, you know, when people get into web design, I think some people assume that I'm suddenly competing with the world. And that's not necessarily the case. You can by your own effort constrain yourself and your business to one area, and in a lot of cases find less competition and higher margins and, you know, whatever, you know,
yeah.
It just works for a lot of people.
Yeah. And you're absolutely right with the less competition, especially when you don't live in an area like New York City or LA, when you live in the small town, suburbs, there's not a lot going on as far as quality, you know, there's people who do it, but I mean, I would say that our quality and a lot of times what we hear is that when we talk to people is, hey, I feel like you guys listen and you know what I need, you know, and I think that is a missing point. And that's one of the benefits to have a dedicated salesperson as well, is that, you know, that's their job is.
Does someone do that for you right now?
Yeah, that's Diane.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. Cool. So
how does she approach someone? Like, I'm assuming you get a lot of referral business, but are there people who you guys kind of approach out of the blue? Like you see their website and you're like, they need it. So maybe we'll go talk to them.
Okay. So it's beyond that. So like you drive up and down the street and you see what their website looks like on your phone, and you go in and say, hey, your website's not mobile friendly. Ooh. We think you need a new website. There like you that. Go.
And so I'm assuming you then have, you know, in another mobile tab, your guys is some examples of stuff that you built and you can just show them. That's very cool. Does that work? I mean, do people get annoyed? Well, so I'm just imagining myself a business owner. I'm sitting there, you know, running my shop, and someone walks in and says, you know, like, you're doing something wrong. Here's the evidence. Like, I know that you're tactful and charming and stuff like that. I'm just saying, I'm surprised that, you know, it's that easy, you know. I'm just curious. Is it really that easy?
So a lot of people don't get offended because they don't know. So like, for example, if their site doesn't work on mobile, they don't even realize it, because one, a lot of these small business people don't even visit their own website.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about like, pizza shops, caterers, little like jewelry, you know, trinket stores, just don't even realize that their website's not mobile friendly. They had it done in 2009 and they just think it's great. And when you show them, they are like, oh my goodness. And does it work every single time? No, but does she do a really good job at doing it? I could never do it. I'd be like, your website's wonderful. No, but she and I think that is the benefit of having somebody who is skilled at that, and that's what their role is. So, if you
Your soft skills person.
Yeah, I'm not that person. So, but she is. So it
that's
works.
Very cool.
Yeah,
I love that. You know, just as a point of interest for anyone who's listening, if you're looking for a good local niche, real estate photography. I have seen some folks using drones to do real estate photography.
Yeah.
And they get these, you know, it's like $1,600 investment to get a really nice drone and put a GoPro on it. And with themes like Divi, any multi-purpose theme where you can put videos in all over the place, you can get these just gorgeous looking websites for people who are doing real estate with these, you know, big dramatic, like almost like helicopter movie style, you know, video and everything. So,
and it looks like they invested a ton of money
It was like $3,000 in an afternoon, and they have this like amazing landing page that, you know, probably converts like crazy, gets lots of interest. But okay, so let's talk about Divi Space a little bit. What are you guys doing there? What's going on? You guys are rebranding, you're relaunching. Can you, I should probably be talking to SJ, but you're in the mix. So, you know, what's going on?
So, I mean, what we've done is, you know, as I said, SJ is going to have more time on his hands. He doesn't have to do everything. So he's already got, we just released Extra Module Mate, which is, Extra. And, I'll give you a little sneak peek that we are going to be having Divi Breadcrumbs coming soon. And, and then he has another one that he's working on that, is really super cool. And we haven't named it yet. So, but it's basically a way to, hide and display content in a really cool kind of way. You know, so he's working on that. And we are, we're going to have some big changes. And so SJ and David and Corey don't, let's see, I'll just tell you. Okay. So we have 10 new child themes coming out. So 10 new child themes, and we're going to totally change the way that they're sold. So that's all I'll say about that. So, it's going to be, it's really cool. So bringing all four of our minds together, it's been really good. So we really hope that, SJ is able to spend his time developing and, I just saw that Randy just did a blog post on PBE. So that was awesome. I said, we were kidding around. I was talking with our content writer, Lisa, and I was showing her one of Randy's posts. And I said, look, we're just going to call this the Randy Brown style. So so now when she's like, what kind of tone is this? I'm like, it's the Randy style. So Randy's got it.
All right. I got to make sure he listens to this because I think he'll love that.
So he's got his own little style. So, I love the way that he does. I like the way that he does this as a long-term blogger. Like, I'm always looking at how people blog. Mm-hmm. So,
Oh yeah. And that's something, like for each of our, he's done a great job with those because he's kind of become our go-to person he just kind of owns the Divi plugin highlights and the, Divi third-party resource, inspiration and third-party resource like themes and child themes, stuff like that, roundups of those things. So he does an excellent job with it. He's probably, if anybody's listening and you want to talk to somebody who is just aware of basically every Divi product out there, Randy Brown is aware of everything, and he catalogs it. And he may also have somewhere, I don't know how he keeps track of it, but he is constantly making these roundups of websites made with Divi or Extra or whatever. And so he just has this ginormous catalog somewhere, probably, of inspiration websites, if anybody's ever wondering.
Yeah, I like his work.
Something you're trying to do has been done already, well, that's very cool that Divi space is changing and growing. Are you guys, what do you guys think about the impending marketplace on elegantthemes.com? Is that something you guys are excited about? Because I would imagine that it's going to be just a huge signal boost to everybody who's got products. But I mean, you guys are really creating your own kind of unique environment at Divi.space. So how are you guys taking that news? Is that good news for you guys? Is it?
I feel like this is me speaking. I'm not speaking for the entire team, but I think that they would feel the same. I would think that any support from Elegant Themes is appreciated and looked positively. I said this last night on Divi Chat. They let me host Divi Chat last night. Okay. They must have lost their minds. I was like,
I need to get back on there sometime soon.
So, I said this on Divi Chat that I've been around for 10 years, in the WordPress community in mm-hmm. various themes. I mean, I've used other, other themes and plugins. And one of the things that I think the way that Elegant Themes embraces the third party community is there's just not replicated anywhere else. It's mm-hmm. unheard of, So I feel like giving a chance to, have that is a good thing. And I think there's just room for everybody. Maybe I'm an idealist and I believe in unicorns and rainbows, but
this is something we talk about all the times that, and we talked about it. I honestly can't remember now if we were recording yet or not, but we were talking about it earlier where we said, our third party community or our community in general, it's a lot of co-opetition. It's collaborative competition, and it's even when people are technically going head to head, it's all encouragement. And we want to obviously embrace and signal boost that with our platform. So we constantly try to find ways that we can, that's the whole reason we do blog posts like Divi plugin highlight series and stuff like that, is because we want to showcase the work that people in the community are doing. It's kind of funny. We do catch some flack for it in the comments. I don't know if you've ever seen this, but people are constantly like, this third-party plugin should be Divi Core. I can't believe you guys are doing... Like, not everything can be a core feature. That's just an impossibility. And the fact that others are so excited about our tool that they want to extend it in areas and likely at a much faster pace than we're capable of doing. Personally, I think that's pretty special.
Yeah. And I think that I think that some people are short-sighted when they say, let's just bloat it to, you know, I mean, you just, why add, I mean, there's some functionality that, you know, you may need on one client site and mm-hmm. you might never need it again for another 10, you know? Yep. So, I mean, I feel like the less bloat, the better. And I mean, I'm not saying that just because, you know, I'm obviously not with DiviSpace, but I feel that way in general. And I said it last night, and I mean, I verbatim said, you know, that some other themes, a plugin comes out and 10 days later they have integrated that plugin's feature mm-hmm. into, you know, and I said last night that I appreciate that Elegant Themes doesn't do that to the community because
there are probably in the long term, as the market grows, there probably are going to be situations in which we've had something on our development queue for just ages.
Absolutely.
And it's like, well, just because someone came out with it doesn't mean we're not going to go ahead and move forward with our version or our concept.
Right.
But that said, I mean, if the community, if there's a demand and someone wants to meet that demand in a third party capacity, that's good for everybody. You know what I mean? Like,
absolutely.
That's good for us because we can then go, oh, hey, you know, we don't have this right now, but these guys do. And they're, you know, they've built something that works. So go check it out. And then the person who's providing that solution, they've just grown their own business. So maybe they, yep. you know, maybe that is their business, or maybe they diversify with a couple different tools, like what a lot of the people have done, including you all at DiviSpace. You know, it's not just, I think it would probably be, just from my observations, a mistake for somebody to go, okay, I'm going to put all my eggs in one feature extension and that's going to be my entire business. I would say maybe diversify a little bit and come up with a couple different things that you can do. And that'll probably be a big part of how people end up using the marketplaces, you know.
Right.
Finding demand for things that either we haven't implemented yet or we don't have plans to implement, and they can do it fast, like right away,
get it
in the marketplace, have the demand met. And then even if, you know, something gets folded in, a feature gets folded in, or we finally get around to doing it in core, they've just had a year or two of great business on a single plugin, and they can either discontinue it or differentiate it or whatever, you know?
Yep, I think it keeps everybody on their toes and moving forward. And I think this is one of the reasons why, you know, with DiviSpace, that having a team of four rather than just SJ is going to allow him to develop smaller fixes like the Divi breadcrumbs. It's not something that, you know, bazillion people are going to need. It's going to be very niche, and who needs it is going to be, it's going to be a smaller thing, but it's okay because he has more time to dedicate to. So that's kind of the goal too, is to be able to put out, you know, more products that serve smaller markets. So I think it'll be good.
So here you are, you're fully embracing the Divi community now. You're all in with two separate businesses. You're mentioning to me before the recording that you wish you had done it sooner. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, I absolutely do. So when I, it's been now over 2+ years, and I spent a lot of time lurking and being afraid to, you know, before this, I had a very successful business, and starting over, I felt like, oh, who am I to speak up? Who am I to say anything? And I waited, you know, for a good year. And like you said, you had no idea who I was when we met at WordCamp, you know, you're like, who's this girl? But I was afraid to speak up because you think that there's this group of people that are all like, okay, these are the people and that's it. Mm-hmm. And I will say, as soon as I started speaking up and, like, you know, putting myself out there and offering up help where I could help, and, you know, doors just open, you know, and I think that everybody, the Divi community is so embracing of, with everybody, you know. I remember the first time that David's like, hey, do you want to come on Divi chat? And I'm like, you know, I'm like, I don't know if I have anything worth saying.
Yeah.
And I think we all do that, you know, in these social environments. So, you know, the one thing that I would encourage everybody, you know, if you're just new to the Facebook groups or to even to the Elegant Themes blog or wherever it is, just write your first comment. ask your first question, because it just takes one. And then when you ask your question, answer somebody else's, because I guarantee you that there's somebody else that you can help, whether it's, you know, with a certain feature, or, you know, or maybe you've been there, or maybe a business question. And there's so many different ways, and there's tons of Facebook groups out there that you can, you know, that you can participate in. And I just think that taking that first step and getting over that, like, you know, oh, I'm not one of the cool kids. You know, cause I'm still not one of the cool kids, but I don't care anymore. I'm like, you know, I have something valuable to add, and as I do believe that everybody has something valuable to add. And I think that this community, getting involved in the community is going to help you not only grow as, you know, whether you're a developer, designer, a business owner, I think it's going to increase your knowledge, but also it just gives you a sense of belonging, you know, because sometimes when we're working from home and we're running our businesses, you know, we don't talk to people all day long, or we don't, you know, whatever. I think just having that, and now I have like this core group of people that I call my friends that, you know, a year ago, if you would have told me that I would be in Texas in an Airbnb with these 9 strangers, I you know, and now we did it in February and I can't wait till OC, you know, I'm like, oh my goodness, next week, you know, so, you know, I slept on a couch, you know, with towels. Really on a couch with towels. You know, I'm 40 something and I'm sleeping on a couch with towels to hang out with these people that I didn't even know. So that is crazy, right? Like a year ago.
It's bonkers. And I think if people want to know what that can look like, just watch the video that we made from last year's WordCamp Orange County. I posted it in the announcement blog post of the upcoming one, and people, you know, there, they didn't know each other that well beforehand. I mean, a lot of them had been talking online and stuff, but I mean, they didn't, like, say a year before that, they had no idea who each other was. Then they got together, and the phrase that kept getting repeated is, it's like family. These are my best friends. And I love seeing that. I think it's so cool that happens. And I'm really hoping that as the meetup stuff grows, that becomes something that is happening on a weekly basis, or at least a monthly basis, just all over the world, people doing stuff and kind of creating their own little Divi families.
It is really cool getting in the room. I mean, we were in a kitchen, and I think there was 8 or 9 of us, and we all had our laptops open, and we're all talking about each other's sites that they're working on in our businesses. And they all do the exact same thing with the, you know, competing business. But it felt like I was hanging out with my brothers and sisters, and we were just talking about stuff that we all relate to. And it's just, it's weird, because I'm getting visually, you can see it's exciting, because it's something that I've never experienced. Even being in a blogging community for 7 years, and, you know, there was a community of, you know, money-saving bloggers that we got together and stuff. I've just never really experienced, you know, like this type of thing before around a product. So it's kind of crazy that, like, you know,
in a lot of ways, I think what happens is, because the product empowers people, it becomes kind of an excuse for because if everybody is getting together and they're like, well, this one thing is empowering me to do a business and empowering me to live a lifestyle that makes something like getting together for a long weekend with a group of people I've come to partner with and work with, like, it just kind of creates an environment in which these close friendships and relationships can form, where you probably wouldn't get that same vibe at like an office or something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. So to make your first comment, that's if you haven't said anything, introduce yourself. You know, it's so worth it. It's worth it.
Make your first comment, folks, and come to your first meetup, if at all possible, as soon as possible. Just to tease this a little bit, we've got a couple really cool, super special surprises just for the people who are attending WordCamp Orange County. So Shannon, you'll get to experience that. And anybody who gets to come or who decides to come, you will also get in on that. I will also be saying, I do also want to mention that we're going to be talking and planning the first DiviCon a little bit.
Woohoo! That's so exciting.
The initial concept for what DiviCon is going to be is going to be talked about at the Divi hangouts at WordCamp Orange County. We're not talking at the event about this stuff. This is our, you know, our Airbnb hangouts, our evening hangouts, whatever ends up happening. So if anybody wants to take the plunge like we're talking about here, and you can find your way out to WordCamp Orange County or the Irvine, California area, do it. It'll be awesome.
Yeah. And if you can't do that, December, Nashville, we're all going to.
So many people are going to that. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, you have 6 months, no excuses.
That's right. That's a great call out. Well, looks like we're running out of time. Shannon, thank you so much for coming on the show today. It was really good talking to you.
Thank you for having me. All right. Thank you.
Well, that's all for this episode of Divi Nation. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. I just want to give another big thank you to our guest, Shannon Schaefer, for coming on the show. If you have any questions about what we discussed in today's episode, please feel free to leave them in the comment section on the Elegant Themes blog, and we will be sure to respond. Thanks again, and I will see you all around the community. I'll be here next week with another episode of Divi Nation.